Hi, welcome to Yalla. I'm Majid.
And I'm Mashari. And we're starting a podcast company.
So I listen to a lot of podcasts.
And I've made a podcast before. So I guess we're qualified?
What's the worst that could happen?
Don't even get me started.
And we are back.
We're back, guys. So Majid, how does it feel to have released our first episode?
Gonna be honest, it was kind of nerve-wracking, but it was also like, yeah, this is totally legit. We've gotten some great feedback and not so great feedback.
And where did we get this feedback, Majid?
So I thought it would be, well, it was actually your idea. And then I thought, like, this is brilliant. So I ran to Hind and I was like, let's get everybody in the garden and let's have a listening party. And so we gathered like 15 of our friends and family. And then we stood there while they listened to our show.
There was an idea I definitely regretted. Watching people just sit there still for 15 minutes, staring at a Bluetooth speaker, hearing your voice come out of it. Not my funnest experience ever.
Yeah, the barbecue didn't distract them. And I'll be honest, I have never so like tried to be invisible in a garden. Like,
and we barely thought we were going to be able to get like 5 or 6 people around the table. And then everyone dropped everything and just gathered around the table.
It was, you know, all up until it started where you were like, oh, that's us talking on the speaker.
And speaking of us talking, your wife's mean. Wife is mean, Majid.
Well, she was making a very important point.
Your wife's mean, Majid. Play the clip.
One by one?
As it goes. Okay, as it goes.
Yeah,
go start.
Okay, thank you.
The bathroom.
What's your last name?
Alanazi.
Alanazi.
Where do you live?
Dubai.
When?
Dubai.
Yeah. Okay. So, Alanazi, Dubai.
Okay.
So, she was making an important point.
She was making a mean point.
I think she needed to hit home. So, look, you and I, we're from the GCC. Okay. We're from Arab countries. We have Arab names. And we sound like two Americans. No offense to Americans, but I really don't think it's, you know, we need to represent. This is what it's about, right? And I know you bring on the Arabic when you're pissed.
And Mashila, and you only hear my Arabic when I'm angry. And most of my Arabic could not be used on this podcast. Most of the recordings would just be completely bleeped out. I think my Arabic only comes out when someone keeps me on hold. But yeah, I want the authenticity.
Okay, I think Elishkali is like when you and me. So it's like I respond to what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. So when you and I are speaking English and we have this like a very American, we just lock into this very American sound.
Well, I think the other issue is the fact that I don't understand your Emirati accent very well.
No, let's be honest. I don't understand your Kuwaiti. Like I just smile and nod when you say stuff. I just don't get it.
He also smiles and nods when I make references that are anything after 2005. By
the way. Yeah, I'm feeling my age. Dad mode. So listen, the other thing we heard, which was pretty weird, was you and I sound the same.
I'm offended.
Sorry, did I say that? So, this is really weird. Let's click back in. We're in the garden again. We've got all these friends around. And they had a lot more to tell us.
I don't know if I'm the only one, but I confuse a bit both voices.
Yeah,
really? Our voices?
I couldn't tell.
You guys have similar voices.
No, but this enunciation is a bit different.
Analogy is different.
You have a very crisp enunciation. Like, obviously, he has the experience from the previous podcast that you've done. Like,
he's well spoken, too.
No,
I'm like slang and all.
Listen, I'm not going to offend you in your house.
No, it's cool.
No, but you come out clear.
It's interesting because that dynamic needs to be made.
Yeah, it needs to be very clear when.
So yeah, you get confused between our voices.
Me.
Okay.
I did too a little bit. Yeah. But
that's
you do
interesting.
Have
start smoking, get more of a.
All right, so I'm gonna go Southern. Nearly.
Yeah. No, but I think also
people in the studio were like.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna be like y'all and like just go real Southern with my twang. Yeah. Go to my like Richmond, Virginia roots, and then you can just be like. Throw in a strong German accent in your English.
Yeah.
This is very, very progressive.
Yeah. There you go. And we'll change things.
Beautiful voice.
Yeah. Thank you.
And the other observation, when you're talking that this is your third startup.
Yeah.
So maybe for the next episode, like, what were the learnings?
Yeah.
Because
I like that. Yeah.
It feels like, oh yeah, they didn't work. And why are you telling it? For the sake of what? It's like, okay, what were the learnings from that? No?
Okay, cool. That's good.
That's good. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's absolutely great. I'm really happy. This is a good explanation.
I can't even. Sorry.
This is absolutely great.
Well, I do declare. What are we supposed? Are we supposed to just?
I really wanted to do like the Southern accent, but I know I've got like German as a standard.
Yeah, so she made a good point in the sense that we brought up, I guess, our startup experience, but we didn't really talk a bit about maybe the lessons we learned or what we're taking from it. So do you want to kick off with?
Yeah, sure. It's something that's interesting to reflect on because we're obviously very openly talking about what our experiences are with this company. Yeah. And the one thing I realize is if you're going to start a company, the company I started, which was right out of university, I started an agribusiness consulting in Singapore. So wow. I was working in the UAE and I had a company in Singapore. So when I was taking holidays, I was flying out there. So no holidays, it was work holiday.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. But the idea of working remotely, being plugged into a company very far away that is your own, that you've invested in.
Yeah,
you have to be like really plugged in. And so I appreciate the difficulty of doing and starting running a company while you're on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Trying that remotely is insane. So yeah. Time in is definitely one thing. The other thing is, well, you know, not everybody thinks like you.
Yeah.
And what happened at one point was we put somebody in as CEO and they didn't handle it very well. And that's not no fault of their own. It was just the way they're wired, the way they think, wasn't appropriate for the CEO role because it was all risk and liability. And so what we did was when we switched up, that person became much more comfortable in the role they were. And so you can't assume everybody wants to be in charge to make the calls.
No, that's very true. No,
yourself?
That makes
sense. Like we've talked a little bit, but yeah. what are your lessons?
So I think my lessons are more to do with choose who you decide to, I guess, partner with very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
My first startup didn't actually go all the way to establishment, even though we worked on it for 9 months.
Whoa, okay.
This was right after I finished my master's. And we worked on it for a good 9 months. And then my partner decided that he wanted to get married. And so it was not a good time for him.
Okay.
And so decided to back out. So that was one. And then the second one, we actually established the company, inventory was ordered, everything was set up. It was just time to like launch. And then my partner backed out because his family didn't want him to start his own business.
Wow. So it's interesting, like understanding the people you work with, communicating. I think that's critical to any startup.
But I think also like my lesson is that because I tend to be go, 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 go.
Sure.
I tend to sometimes push people.
Yeah.
Even when they're not necessarily 100% there. And I think the lesson for me is make sure whoever you partner with is as enthusiastic, is as passionate about the idea as you are.
Yeah.
Because if they're not, sooner or later, it's going to show. You can only drag them along so far before you're going to end up basically running out of energy, or they're going to end up basically saying, okay, no, I'm done. But anyway, I think we've dragged that point on a little too long.
So there's you and I,
and
we're doing late night going over numbers, and your friend Bella turns up. And
she didn't turn up randomly. Well, my friends don't turn up at my place uninvited.
No. So turned up to the
very
appointment
aware.
We made.
I basically asked Bella to come over to go over our pitch deck with us. And yeah, we were sitting in my living room, gathered around my TV with the numbers and the pitch deck up on screen.
So you can imagine this has been a long day for everybody. And now we're getting hit with the heavy questions. Let's go to the Bella roll.
Yeah. Like the radio has just got to go. This is, it's so outdated.
Yeah, we've moved past radio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so when Mashari and I were talking about it, you look at the landscape across, you know, pan-Arab sort of listenership.
And there's a big dearth of content.
No, there's like it's still a land grab.
Yeah.
There's like, it's all open space.
Yeah.
So
if
you can bring something of quality and value that is delivering both for the consumer and then for the people who want access to the consumers, that's an opportunity I think we should be totally capitalizing on. Not to mention the stories that we have here from the region. I'm consuming a lot of American content, and some of it I can reference and some of it doesn't make sense to me, but I'll laugh anyway because they're just being funny about it. But in the end, like, where's the story from around the corner?
Yeah.
Like, tell me about some guy in the next neighborhood who's doing something I had no idea was this guy's passion. And there's a few things I've seen now from the region, from U-Turn and like the other guys, where I'm like, wow, these guys are talented. They've got creativity like in bucket loads. And there's a real story there. Why couldn't we do this for the ears of the countries?
Yeah, I think that makes complete sense. I mean, I know when you first started out, this was something we discussed, that there was a lack of relatable content for basically millennials in MENA. And I think that there are, like we said, U-Turn, Kharibish, these guys are killing it, but there's still so much space.
Yeah.
You know, there's space for more players. And I think MENA is really interesting because even if you look at like market dynamics, the way that millennials in MENA consume media, how many, like, smartphone penetration, internet penetration, like, it's perfect timing actually for you guys. So yeah, I think you're onto something really cool.
So everything was going great when we were just explaining the general idea and she was totally on board. But when we started getting into the nitty-gritty of things, that's when I guess the niceties ended, you could say?
I think it was clear when she was going through this with us for the first time. We were actually for the first time showing the numbers.
Yeah.
We didn't have them memorized.
Yeah.
And it's kind of critical when you are sitting down with somebody explaining your thinking through the numbers that you understand and you have it memorized. You know it back to front.
Or at least know how you got the numbers you put on the slide, which was definitely not what we had done. And you can notice it when she starts asking us about potential market size.
Yeah.
So let's just go to that clip, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about the data on the zoo. We talked about adding some demographics numbers here. This just pulled a number out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, potential MENA listeners, 65 million.
How'd you come to that number?
Yeah.
So, do you want to go through that?
Are you throwing that at me?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
65 million is basically a bunch of countries.
Yeah. So basically, we've taken the population. It may be worth actually going back
and finding the
exception. No, doing the demographic.
Mm.
So what you do is take the population of the country, and then we slice it down to. So what we did was we did a comparison of listenership or potential listenership with the U.S., so proportionate.
Yeah.
So what we did was we took population of the U.S. and population of all Arabic-speaking countries. We then took the proportion relative to who's consuming podcasts in the U.S., and we mapped that across to the full population and got down to our 65 million, and then 10% of that is our current market, which is 650.
So for example, just throwing numbers,
yeah.
if 10% of Americans listen to podcasts, you
yeah.
guys said, okay, then it makes sense 10% of Arabs
yeah.
listen to podcasts.
Market data, stats, demographics, this region, it's like so hard.
I think that's a struggle that not only we go through, but everyone kind of goes through when they're starting a business in the region. Trying to find statistics, data, it's just not collected. And there's no like accurate information. So you end up going abroad and just trying to take data and apply it to the region, which doesn't necessarily make it accurate.
Trying to make the best fit or use the best available data. And I think we got caught off with saying, oh, if it worked in the U.S., copy paste.
I think also it just made me realize how we're thinking in such a basic and rudimentary way.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to kind of be looking at things a lot more detailed. And she threw out some terms there that, I mean, I had to Google afterwards, which was just humiliating. But
virality coefficient.
But even that wasn't the worst part. I think the worst part was when we got to the slide about how much money we were asking for.
Oh, yeah.
So we were asking for $750,000. And let's hear what Bella had to say about that.
Where's the money?
No. No.
No, I'm curious. What's the
750,000 dollars on a pre-revenue, pre-basically traction business for your first raise is terrifying, and it's terrifying. It should be terrifying for you, and it's terrifying to investors because we're thinking, what are you doing with all this money? My first thought, as even though I can see what you're doing, my first thought is that if you need this much money to start your business, it's not a sustainable business. It means that you're burning cash too quickly. So, like, just as like at this stage, you guys should be raising 150, 200, 250 max.
Because you're talking seed.
So before we go any further, do you want to explain to people what seed is?
Okay, so seed is actually seed capital. This is the amount of money that you're going to be getting before you've even got this thing off the ground. You ask your friends, you ask your family, and you ask some angel investors, people who will be willing to take it on an idea. It's before you're generating revenue, before you're generating anything as a company.
Because I'm talking seed. Okay. And because you're pre-revenue, you're pre-traction, you're pre-everything, you know? And so what I recommend is that you kind of go back to your financials and cut everything.
No, I'll tell you. So this is the the reference point for this was taken straight from the company that did this in the US. Chris Sacca got involved, etc. And also the scale that they had was went on 2 years.
So they raised $1.5 million for 2 years. As their seed, as like their initial first go to market, first round of investment. For us, because we're going on a smaller scale, we kind of went through all the numbers and all that kind of stuff, and we came up with 750, which, I mean,
we pared down.
We pared down quite a bit to get down to this number.
Well, like, I love how the argument was like, oh yeah, but you know, the company in the US raised twice as much.
I feel like she almost was like, if all your friends jump off of a bridge, are you going to jump off a bridge too? So, but I mean, like, once we went through the financials with her, though, she did understand what we needed the money for and that we weren't just kind of overestimating.
The fact that she didn't understand we were doing multiple shows was kind of critical.
Yeah, I think we need to get better at explaining that. And I'm a gifted communicator, so I think you need to get better at explaining that. So go ahead and explain it one more time for the listeners.
Okay, everybody, let's do this. So we are creating a podcast media company, right? So a media company that produces media content. If you want a good example, I'm sure you're all watching Netflix, the most of you at least. And so Netflix produces its own shows. So we are creating a, if you will, Netflix for audio, and we're producing our own shows. So there'll be narrative shows. There'll be shows that are sort of documentary style. We're looking to create a variety of shows to draw many different listeners for on-demand audio.
And it'll be in Arabic and in English. So those of you who hate our American accents, you will have other people to listen to. And we're not going to be the only hosts. We're only hosts on here. So yeah, you can avoid us later on if you want.
So let's be clear. This show is really to tell you the story about how we start that company.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yalla is about like, yalla, let's do this company.
There you go. See? You get better every time.
Only 100 more to go.
I think also the thing is, because we've been working on this so long, we take a lot of things for granted. We take it for granted that we know what a podcast media production company is, what Gimlet is, what startup is. And I think what we're going to have to be more careful of in the future is to stop and explain things when we actually make those references.
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll put this in the show notes, what the Gimlet media company is and startup, so you can get some reference.
Dilara, the intern, if you're listening, if you could please put the links in the show notes, that'd be great.
She's smiling and making
notes. Thanks. So what can people expect in our next episode since this one is wrapping up?
Well, we're going to do a really interesting one because we're going to do a run through with Fahim, my brother.
Yay!
Right. I know you're not looking forward to that, but this wasn't the first time you were, let's say, uncomfortable. you had a point of reflection and you were being a bit truthful with the microphone, let's put it that way. So you got pissed. Let's click into
those thoughts.
Majid was like 50 minutes late, which let's hope that doesn't repeat itself, because I will definitely lose my ish if that happens again. I feel like I'm going to be the one who's stuck like managing situations and holding down the fort and doing a lot of the grunt or admin or management work or whatever you want to call it. And yeah, I don't know like if this is kind of the right decision. Ugh, people are going to hate me after the next episode. I'm going to become the mean one, not only the pessimistic one. Even though you're the one that was freaking 50 minutes late.
Yeah, look, it's cool. I get it. And I honestly appreciate that you were being so honest.
I'd like to point out, it wasn't just one time that he was late. This one time.
We're working on this.
This one time, we were supposed to be recording in the studio, and someone fell asleep.
So. Man, we're not even going to get into those details. I am not that guy.
So anyway, join us for the next episode where I rip Majid a new one, and Fahim rips both of us a new one, I guess. God help us.
Okay, guys. So join us next episode. You can find Yalla on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Rami, or wherever else you get your episodes from. This has been a production of Finial Media, recording out of Dubai. Thanks to everyone for listening, and please subscribe. Tell your friends to listen and them to subscribe. We love your feedback, so keep it coming. This is Majid signing off. Ma'a salama.
And Mashari. Bye, guys.